Our scripture for today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. God add to this reading and our hearing of this, His holy word. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, our souls up, and may what is said, heard, and understood here today be pleasing to you. Amen. Why tongues of fire? Why does it describe the Holy Spirit coming upon people as being tongues of fire? Why couldn't it have been a fish, which was an early symbol of Christianity? Why not running water? Why not a drop of blood representing Christ's crucifixion? Why fire? Well, what do we know about fire? Well, fire gives light. It can provide warmth on a cold night when you're out camping or such. It can cook our food, and fire also takes and consumes anything that it touches. Well, how do we use fire? Well, before electricity, fire was used to light and to heat dwellings. There were candles all over the place in houses. It allowed people to safely move during the night. If they had to venture somewhere, they would have a lantern or a torch that would take and would light the way. On many wagons, you'd have the big lanterns, again, to shine the way. And as was forementioned, it was used to cook food, to cook meat, to make soup and stew, to nourish and warm the body. A fire was also used and continues to be used on the farm. It's used for brush and weed control. I was having a little conversation with Francie before the service, and I said, "Do you use fire on the farm?" And she says, "Oh yes, we have a big pile of whatnot that we have to take care of." A lot of times at the end of the growing season, when there is a bunch of stalks and the leftover plants and parts that are there after the crop has been harvested, there, in many cases, these fields are set on fire. They're set on fire to take and break down all of this dead material that will not easily rot. It's burned down, and all of the goodness, the nutrients, are given back to the soil and are there for the next season. And in some cases, there are some plants that have a very thick pod in which is contained the seed, and the only way to get that seed out is to burn the plant. Burn it so that the pod will open and the seed will scatter back into the ground that has been replenished. We've seen it used in the manufacturing process. In the early days, it was used to power steam locomotives that were used to drive saws and mills and other things. Fire is used to smelt ore that is taken from the ground to get the metals out so that they can be used. And likewise, fire is used to heat those metals so that they can be shaped into whatever is needed. Silver and gold are purified via heat. All of the impurities are taken out of the gold and of the silver so that it can be used in its most effective way. Silver, so for example, silver, if you take the impurities out, it is very impervious to rust. And pure silver and pure gold are both highly sought after and needed. So again, why tongues of fire? Well, our reading today comes a couple weeks after Jesus has ascended into heaven, before the eyes of his apostles and also the eyes of other disciples that were there. And the reading today finds all of these believers, all of these disciples, probably still not quite sure what exactly are they supposed to do. The fear that was in their minds after Jesus had been crucified, I think, was still there. I think they were still trying to process how this man that was crucified on the cross, how he arose 3 days later, leaving an empty tomb, how he appeared to many people, appeared to the people on the road to Emmaus, and appeared to the disciples in a locked room, and they were in fear of the authorities and what they might do. And they still weren't quite sure, even though Jesus promised that a helper would come. He says in Luke chapter 24, verses 48 and 49, "You are witnesses to these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, one thing that we need to keep in mind is when we are reading Acts, it's talking about all believers being in one place. So this just was not only the disciples, but it was other believers. Traditionally, we say there were about around 120 fellow believers that were there with the disciples. They're in a house, probably cowering a little bit, afraid, wondering what all of this means. What did Jesus say when he said he would send what his Father promised? And what does it mean to be clothed with power from on high? And when exactly is this going to happen? And then all of a sudden, the door is blown open. The window shutters are blown open. And a wind comes rushing in to the house, fills the entire house, touches everyone that is there. And suddenly, there are little flames on the top of everybody's heads. The Holy Spirit, this force that Jesus had promised, had come and had made itself known. And they began to speak in languages that they had never studied. Languages that were very common and very rare, because they were spoken in countries far, far away. We call this the birthday of the church because this is when the ministry of spreading the good news started, and it continues here today. All of a sudden, these people that were unsure of themselves, were cowering in a little bit of fear in the house, all of a sudden, they are going out. You see Peter's speech, if you continue on in Acts chapter 2, where all of a sudden he's bold. This man who had denied Jesus, who carried the great guilt, all of a sudden has the confidence to go out and start preaching this good news. So, how did this happen? How did the believers suddenly go from fear to confidence, from being unsure to being sure, from being timid to being bold? It's because the Holy Spirit came and filled them up. So I'll ask again, why tongues of fire? I think that the Holy Spirit made itself known by the symbol of fire. Because if you think about it, the Holy Spirit can take and burn all of the dead material that we have within us and makes it fertile. Turns it into things that the Word of God can start growing in. The Holy Spirit takes and burst the seeds that are in the souls of all of us that many times just are lingering and do not take and manifest themselves. And these seeds burst out and they hit this fertile soil that we now have within us, and they start germinating and they start growing. And all the things that would hold us back, all of the things that would keep us from doing the things that God would have us to do, are swept away. All of the impurities in our lives get burned away, get taken away, leaving behind purity, purity of vision, purity of direction, purity of purpose. Now, the thing is, for the Holy Spirit to take in, really be able to do these things in our lives, to come in and burn all of the dead things that we carry around with us, all of the mistakes of the past, all of the things that we have done wrong, all of the actions in which we have hurt other people. In order for the Holy Spirit to come in and burn the crap out of all of the guilt that we carry, and turn that into lessons that we can take and learn from and go out in the world and use. The only way that that is going to happen, if we take and open the doors and open the windows of our hearts. The lesson for today said that the wind suddenly blew through, and God could take and have the Holy Spirit blow through this world. He could have it blow through the people that are willing and the people that are not willing, but that's not how God is. God doesn't want just hearts. God wants willing hearts that are open, that are willing to recognize all of the brush, all of the, what did you call it, whatnot? That's okay. Be willing to recognize all of the brush, all of the whatnot, all of the weeds, all of the dead material that is there, to say, come on and burn that up. I want something different. I want to have a purity of vision, of direction. I want to have a purity of purpose. I want to know what God would have me do. So the Holy Spirit takes and prepares us and guides us and tells us what we need to do. And it helps us to have pure hearts, because the message given with a pure heart comes across so much better than if you have a lot of impurity in your heart. Now, I'm a realist, and I realize that we will never be totally pure here on this earth because of how we are, and there is going to be some impurity, so to speak, in the way that we do things. But we can get to be as pure as God needs us to be, to do His will, to not be afraid to do what is asked of us, to not be cowering in fear that we might offend someone or we might make people feel bad. There's a phrase, and it's usually spoken towards pastors, but I think it's appropriate for everyone. It says that our job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Because sometimes you need to get a little bit uncomfortable in order to realize the things that you might be missing. And so, my friends, on this Pentecost Sunday. May the Spirit of God rush through us and burn all of the brush and the crap away. May it burn off the impurities that keep us from following the will of God, from doing what He wants us to do and being the people that He wants to be. And may this be a continuous process through our entire lives. Amen.